Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today are two illustrious guests, staff members at PreventEd. I almost said NCADA and caught myself. Staff members of PreventEd. We have Director of Strategic Engagement, Alicia Smith, and what the heck is your title? I just totally blanked.
Community Engagement Manager.
Community Engagement Manager, Courtney Hinton. Did I say that right?
You got it. Yeah.
All right. Community Engagement Manager. I should know this, don't you think? I should probably know this. But this is why you're here, to tell me. We're going to talk all things community engagement. It is PreventEd's newest department. Yes. We formed it last year, and we're going to talk a little bit about why and what that means in a little bit. But first of all, Alicia,
yes.
You have a storied career, I think. You've worked in politics, you've worked in public administration, you've even worked in funding. Mm-hmm. You are, in my opinion, that person who always knows how to navigate potentially tricky situations. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the person I look to when I need advice on, like, delicate matters. Mm-hmm. Are you just that way? Have you always been that way?
Well, I'm the oldest of three girls.
Well, there you go.
And
okay.
We were always at war. So you always, as the oldest, learned how to navigate that. So probably it just comes naturally. But I was a nerdy kid who always liked politics. And so you always kind of watch and listen and learn from the ones that have been around a while. And you know politicians, they can kind of weave their way in and out of bad and slippery situations. So
yeah, I mean, I do think that that's right. I think you know how to weave. And it's not something that you do in front of. Like, that's mm-hmm. also something that I notice, is that you are much more, I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but sort of from behind, like leading from behind or mm-hmm. massaging mm-hmm. from behind. Like, is that because you're the oldest and you just had to keep your head down?
It's a combination
from one oldest child
that.
To the other.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. It's a little bit of that. But then it's also having always worked with the public and being in the public domain, you kind of learn how sometimes to have those private conversations in the back mm-hmm. that aren't as comfortable sometimes, or maybe just feeding a little bit of background information so that the person doesn't walk into landmines.
Yeah. 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 So you came on, and Courtney, I'm not forgetting about you, but you came to PreventEd in 2019. We had, I would say, begun our racial equity journey.
Yes.
But hadn't really, I mean, we were scratching the surface, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we had a racial equity committee that was trying to sort of get solidified and to take off. And then COVID happened, and it really accelerated the work that we were doing. And not just COVID, of course, but how we respond to COVID, the, you know, disparities in COVID deaths, but also overdose deaths. Mm-hmm. Of course, Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and the countless others. And you really started nudging us forward, mm-hmm. Even more, I would say, vocally and like the and urgent, like saying like we got to do this. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you're
publicly,
welcome.
Because you, again, you don't do it out loud. Like, you mm-hmm. do it to me, or you do it kind of behind the scenes, and you say like, we got to do something about this, Nicole. We need to issue a statement, or we need to have a processing group. So mm-hmm. so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it, Nicole, was your willingness to send out that email. Hey, we need to, if anybody, I'm having a listening session at 3:00, no pressure, but if you want to come and kind of talk and process about what's going on in the world, what's going on in Missouri or either here at our agency. Let's talk about this. Because sometimes people operate in silence and you don't really learn anything Mm-mm. with silence. Mm-mm. And I think a few brave souls took, you know, when something happened, made that first call and we had the Zoom and we talked about things Mm-mm. and you really do feel better once you talk about it and you're able to find some type of levity in a situation. And we, you know, would end up laughing, but at the same time, we were processing and getting to know mm-hmm. one another better.
Yeah.
Because that was quite a challenge. I came and probably 6 months later, we were in lockdown.
I know.
So I didn't get to know a lot of the staff, you know, just with one-on-one conversations and everything. So that was part of the challenge. But I think those listening sessions that you just kind of recommended were very, very helpful and kind of helped me think of some things and to help you kind of nudge staff on what we kind of needed to do.
And one of the things that was, I think, your idea, whether you knew it or not, was that there were a lot of places that we weren't. We weren't. We didn't know how to be. We mm-hmm. Maybe were not doing the type of outreach that we could have, should have been doing. I mean, I know you shouldn't should all over yourself, but it's sort of hard in retrospect, mm-hmm. right? And you had been nudging quietly, and then the nudges got a little louder, mm-hmm. which I appreciate to say, like, have we thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? Mm-hmm. And one of the ideas really was to deepen our community engagement by actually forming department. Mm. And that's where Courtney comes in. And so, no, you know, sorry. Yeah. So you came on with us during the pandemic. And like your first day was our sort of welcome back party that we thought was a welcome back, but then we ended up shutting down again.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Good times.
Good times. And you both had experience working together at the Red Cross,
yes.
right? And that was your most recent mm-hmm. job. So could you talk a little bit about the work that you did previously and what your role is now, Courtney?
Wow, sure. And first, thank you for having us this afternoon, everybody out there in Radio Land, or Podcast Land, sorry. So in my previous position, I was responsible for a lot of things, be it emergency management, coordinating volunteers, coordinating events and programming, things of that nature, making a lot of relationships. So it was oftentimes, I hate to do it, but oftentimes cold calling.
Mm. You're a very good cold caller, yeah. though. You are. You might have a future in fundraising.
Nice try. Yeah, nice try, Nicole. You're not getting
But it was a matter of learning to be comfortable and having conversations and saying, have you considered this? I'm noticing this situation on the outside. Have you given thought to how we can remedy this and make the world a better place, if you will? And so my last position was a regional manager. And so, like I said, I oversaw volunteers, relationships with the military, and that included military families, veterans, you name it, we were involved in it. Some things changed and here I am. But so what I do now is basically the same thing. So it's helping to form relationships and doing something that I kind of wanted to do. I thought about, you know, switching gears a while back and saying, I might want to go into urban planning, urban renewal. Mm. And so I got lured into Prevent Ed with not only with the opportunity to continue to do the work that I have been doing, but also to help to build coalitions that are focused on substance misuse and what can we do in order to build or rebuild a community that has fallen by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And that's been a very exciting aspect of my job thus far.
We had Gerald on. He was one of our earlier mm-hmm. podcast guests, and he was talking about Fresh Start and what that is and what mm-hmm. they're aiming to do. That's one of the coalitions you support. Mm-hmm. You also do a lot of work with Living with Purpose, and we had Cal and Kim and Duana on too. So this is just like, I mean, it's about time we've had you on, Courtney, basically.
So what I can say is, my second day on the job, Jenny told me that we're going to go visit Living with Purpose. And I said, okay, sure, don't know what that is. And when I got there, I had no idea what was going on. They just said, just wait. And so now it's it's a joy to work mm-hmm. with these people and to help. You know, I've come up with some ideas myself on, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. For those who don't know, Living with Purpose is a grassroots organization that started helping those with developmental disabilities. And through some funding or through some funding opportunities, they began to spread their wings and do or support mothers with diapers mm-hmm. and formula milk. And then along comes PreventEd saying, hey, we understand that you know how to reach people. We want you to come and help eradicate, if you will, or lessen the stigma behind substance use and misuse. And so we want to supply you with Narcan to arm the community. That's where I come in, right? So, or one of the ways that I come in. So, in helping them to form a coalition, we've gotten to meet about maybe 15 people, 15 faithful people who come every month to planning sessions to talk about what is wrong with the community, but what can we do to remedy the situation? And then we're ready to start making strides in order to make Baden, which is a shell of itself, in my opinion, taking it back to where it once was 30, 40 years ago.
When it was hopping.
When it was hopping.
I mean, Baden was hopping.
I can recall as a kid, you know, driving through on Sunday mornings and seeing the farmer's market and seeing people walking them down the street. You've got people at the library and, you know, the Catholic school was vibrant then and still, well, I guess, I think the school might be closed, but the church is still active. And you just saw a sense of community. And today you don't see as much. There, but there is potential, and I like the fact that there's potential. I dropped by there today and just driving by some of the abandoned buildings, saying, you know, that could be a really nice storefront. Mm-hmm. I think a restaurant such as Belligerent Bovine might want to go in this space.
Ooh! Shout out to our in-house caterer, Belligerent Bovine Barbecue.
But at any rate, it's become a resource center. I took an intern up there last week to let them walk around and see what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to supplying the community with Narcan, they're offering GED classes. They have a back to school function every year for kids in the community. They offer haircuts. Anything that you need is right uh-huh. there. They're starting to offer mm-hmm. some piece of healthcare in terms of just checking blood pressure and blood sugar. So for people who are under-resourced and don't have access to those things. So it's for me, it's really awesome to be a part of that, or rather to be a part of this group that's saying we're here to help these people who might not have the wherewithal to be where they should be in life, but we're going to help them get there.
I feel like I'm going to let all the air out of the room here, but I just have to, I'm going to ask some questions. And if you both know me, you know me, I don't really beat around the bush very, very well. So, you know, there's a lot of things that organizations do wrong. Mm-hmm. And one of those is assuming that you know everything about people and taking races or cultures as like a monolith, right? And so saying like, oh, well, I'm a white woman, so I must know everything about what other white women are feeling. And so now we have this engagement department, which I would like to talk a little bit about what that actually means. But it's a little bit of outreach. It's a little bit of urban planning, like you said. It's a little bit of relationship building. It is a little bit of fundraising and networking. Mm-hmm. And we have you two who essentially are our eyes and ears, and you're sort of like expected to tell us what we need to be doing. That seems messed up, even as I'm saying it, right? Like, how, you know what I mean, though? Like, how is that pressure for you? Is it like, how on earth do you ever like wonder, like, how on earth does Nicole expect us to do this? Or how are we supposed to make inroads here? Or is she kidding? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of...
You know what, Nicole? When you first put us out into the community, you gave us time to kind of put our heads together, come up with a strategy, and we just kind of went out there and we contacted old friends and contacts from former jobs.
Yeah, y'all know a lot of people. Yep, that's all I'm going to say.
And you'd be amazed sometimes if you let somebody talk, you find out that that school administrator that you went to ask a question maybe about the educational system is also a deacon at the church and also maybe an officer in their fraternity. So that's what you know, people who are experienced in community work, but that's what you find out. Give a person the opportunity to talk, and you find out that they wear a lot of hats, and your original question may get answered, but it may lead you to your next meeting or open your next door.
And not only that, I should to piggyback onto what you've just said, mm-hmm. St. Louis is a small place. Right. So you learn that. So as Leisha said, the person that you're having the conversation with hold these other positions, if you will, mm-hmm. and they may also offer inroads into something else that you haven't considered being a part of. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of an example. So for me, in my religious community, I've started to be
St. Rock Church, right? Can we give them a shout out?
St. Alphonsus the Rock. Rock.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes, yes, go. St. Alphonsus the Rock on Grand. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I was helping with a project, and someone asked, in listening to me talk, because at times when I'm comfortable, I will run my mouth. Hard to believe I know.
I know, shocking.
So someone had asked a question, you know, what is it that you do? I'm listening to you talk. I'm listening to you speak on some topics that are pretty heavy. What is it that you do? And when I told them, they said, oh, well, have you considered talking to so-and-so over here? Because they do such and such. And you work for Prevent Ed now? Well, you know, I know you went through a name change. So this organization that this person is a part of was a part of such and such a long time ago before this name change. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know how to reach you. So let's have a conversation. So we're, you know, so St. Louis is a small place is what I'm going to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
So at least opening doors and reestablishing relationships that may have fallen by the wayside pre-COVID and pre-name change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fantastic.
Do y'all have a hard time articulating to other people what you do? I know we talked about job descriptions, right? And like, I have a hard time saying what I do. I mean, I schmooze, I put out fires, I sign a lot of things. Is it hard to describe to people who don't know what community engagement is, what strategic engagement is?
Oh, okay. So at times, it depends on who I'm speaking with.
Okay. That's
so
fair.
I think for your veterans who are salespeople, public relations experts, and you know, something along those lines, it's pretty simple to explain what it is what it is that we do. But for others who are very segmented and are used to having specific tasks for a specific function, mm-hmm. for a specific organization, can be a little taxing, if you will,
mm-hmm,
to explain
mm-hmm.
just all the things that we do. But I think once they get it, they're floored.
Yeah.
Surprised, so.
Yeah. And I think the mistake sometimes that people make after you describe what you do, that's easy. But I always give them the analogy. The best one I can think of is like a family recipe. And you know how much love it takes to mm-hmm. go through all of those steps to get to a good, tasty, you know, end product.
Mm-hmm.
Community outreach is the same way. It's not instantaneous, snap your hands, things are going to change. It takes a long time. And you know when you're making that recipe and you do a few little shortcuts or you try and rush the process, it's still good, but you know it could be better.
Yeah.
And that's the best analogy because everybody's had to cook one time or another. If it were survival cooking or whatever, you've had to do one of those difficult family recipes that takes too much time.
And when you know it, you know it. Like when you know you got it and it tastes mm-hmm. like your grandma's, like you know you've got it. But
exactly.
Again, to your point, when you try to skirt and when you try to, I mean, when you all come back from meetings, you have 5 more meetings and 20 more questions. And have we thought about this? And that is the sign that you all are meant to do this, because you are meant to build those relationships and put those dots together. I want to talk more in, so we're going to end this episode, because I want to talk in the next episode about one of the sort of cherries on the top of what you all have done, and that really is the formation of our first ever community advisory board. So I want to talk a little bit about that, so don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Glued to the seats.
If you have liked what you've heard and you want more, please consider rating, reviewing, and subscribing to The Preventable.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.